Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to at DReefer or at MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Jo Perino.
No.
Hello?
It is not Dan Reefer and Mary Jo Perino. You are stuck with ABC 36 Sports Director Alex Rise and LEX 18 Sports Anchor Keith Farmer. You can still tweet Dan and Mary Jo.
Yeah, do. Please do.
We love that.
We encourage it.
We encourage that. Mary Jo down to New Orleans for her birthday trip.
Especially get in touch with Mary Jo.
Yes. Dan probably still feeling the effects of his Georgia buddies coming up to visit him yesterday. Mm. I'm sure they're rubbing it in as we speak.
Yeah.
Maybe still from last night. 27-24, Georgia takes care of Kentucky. The last second field goal. Did it seem like it was going to happen, Keith? Did you have a? Was there a little bit of something in the air last night at Commonwealth?
That Kentucky was going to get the win?
No.
Or that?
That somehow, some way, they would just figure out a way to lose it.
No, I really didn't get that feeling.
Thought they'd get it?
I mean, you know, not up until the very end. I just had that feeling, you know, there was such an electricity with the fans. They had the cards up that said, go Big Blue, you know. They were doing things we hadn't seen them do before in Commonwealth Stadium. They came out and they had a little bit of a slow start, but then they just kind of took control. And they were in the lead for so long, it just felt like, this is it. They're going to get the win.
I know there was some talk last night post-game. Why not go to Benny Snell earlier?
Yeah.
Get him involved. It took a little bit, but once he got going.
But he was in earlier than we were used to seeing.
Yes, also true.
I thought. I mean, yeah. He was in fact, they used the two of them on the very first play of the first and third quarter, both being in the backfield. That kind of excited me.
And Boone Williams did have a good game.
Yeah.
He did lower the shoulder, run through two tackles and another guy to get into the end zone. And UK has the lead, you know, most of the way. And then you have to settle for the field goal.
Yeah. Well,
and Benny says, I hate that. You know, I hate not getting into the end zone. You know, for me, that's, I failed my offense.
I hate they didn't use him more when you get down that close and figure out a way to get him into the end zone. I mean, he can figure that out. I love the touchdown that he had. That Georgia defender was pretty huge that had him. And he's just grabbing him by everything he can. And Benny's just like, no, I'm going this way. I'm in the end zone. And the guy's just like standing over him, like, how did I not get you down?
Yeah. He's a hard runner.
I love him. Love him. And the fact that he can't go pro for two more years is even more beautiful.
Silver lining.
Yeah.
From Keith Farmer.
He can't go Coach Cal on us and one and out. One and done.
We will recap UK and Georgia here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show featuring Alex Risen and Keith Farmer.
Why didn't Rob Bromley show up?
KYT, the CBS affiliate here in town, the only non-represented station.
We could add like the three of us, you know, and then we could have invited the PBS guy and the Telemundo Dome. We could have had the anchorman, you know.
Don't touch the hair.
Down. Yeah, no touching of the face and hair.
Yeah. 381-1313 if you want to join us, get a part of the show.
You should.
You should join us. Because there's plenty to talk about. Steve joining us already. Talk about the UK game. Steve, what's up, man?
What's going on, guys? Good to hear from you this morning.
Thank you.
My say about the game last night, I just, for some reason about this game, it's a very disappointing loss and heartbreaking, but I think it could be good for the guys down the line, if it makes sense. Because, like, you know, the way you were... I was watching a lot of the post-game stuff afterward, and you could really see the disappointment in their face and all that. But it's like, you hope that they can learn from this game, you know, to close out and everything and just maybe take advantage of it going forward. Because they did some very good things in that game last night. It was just, I felt it was towards the end of the end of the third quarter, you know, start of the fourth quarter where things kind of fell apart from them and they just couldn't recover from it.
But, Steve, don't you feel like it was a different disappointment on the faces of the players? Because, like, before we've seen it, oh, man, we're upset with ourselves. We're upset with the fact that, you know, we just got, you know, either demolished or just, yeah, you know, should have won this game. This time it was, man, we were right there. We almost had this. Man, we let the fans down, yeah, because they all came out to show up for us. It was more of a collective program. Man, dang, we should have got this thing.
Yeah, I can't I'm trying to worry, it's not a good thing per se, but it's better. You know,
sure.
I'd rather have like that kind of disappointment than like, oh crap, some terrible team just, you know, whooped our butts and everything. Oh shucks, you know, it's just, you know, it's a sign. I think the players are maturing and they're getting better as a team. That, you know, I feel like as bad as the loss was, it's like, you know, it's not the end of the world, so to speak. I think they could come back, and you know, I think they have a real chance at Tennessee next week.
Yeah, I mean, I would say you're taking the trip to Knoxville. Obviously, you haven't won there since 1984.
Yeah.
Right.
But
Tennessee's so banged up. I mean, they, you know, it's an ER unit down there, basically.
Now, they did take care of Tennessee Tech easily, but you would like to expect that they would take care of Tennessee Tech. So maybe, sure. Does that give Tennessee a little bit of at least right in the ship and then kind of rally the troops because Kentucky's coming in? And now second place in the SEC East, obviously, is still right there for the taking for Tennessee.
Yeah.
In Kentucky, it's just, man, sometimes when it sets itself up, it's right there. Sole possession of the East. You know, Florida loses to Arkansas, you'll be 5-2. Florida's 4-2. You've got the step up, and then,
Well, it's like my, you know, it's like my dad said last night. You just sit there sometimes. You're like, why not us? You know, just, I mean, you really sit there sometimes. It's like, why can't we just for 1 year at least just, you know, be the team on top, be the team that, you know, gets the close games like this. You know, it's just, you know, sometimes it's just very heartbreaking.
You should pass that motto on to Barnhart. That'd be a great motto for the team. Why not us?
I feel like I've seen a big banner.
That was the joke. You know, you really do wonder, like, why not us sometimes? Yeah. You know, you could turn that around.
No, that's so true. So true. And I think that's part of the disappointment, you know. It was like they saw so much out there that you know, we feel like that they're going to be bowl eligible because there's Austin Peay left. So this was going to be that bonus game that was going to get you into the better bowl game.
And not Birmingham.
And who knows about Tennessee? Maybe you get a Tennessee, and if you win that one, now you're looking at a possible SEC East, and you're looking at a possible way better bowl game. I mean, that's why that game last night was so big. It was bonus time.
But you know what? I'll tell you one thing encouraging. It was good seeing the fans out there. You know, you're probably worried all week. Just a lot of negativity. It was awesome on TV. It really was cool seeing all, you know, the fans there supporting. And they stayed to the end, too. You know, there wasn't like, you know, sometimes in the past in some of these games, I've seen people leave at like the third quarter. But you know what? They were there for the team last night, and I think that's a very good thing. It'll be a good thing moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely, Steve. Mark Stoops said, awesome atmosphere. Thank you so much to the fans for coming out. We really wanted to deliver,
yeah,
and we didn't. And we will get back to work, and we're going to try to go down to Tennessee and, you know, erase this and go get a win.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the problem, too, or that hurts is because they did get such a great turnout, and it's hard not to get that win right there and to take advantage and make them want to come back out and see it again and again and again.
Well, and I think the Austin Peay game will have a good turnout, too, and everything, especially if that's the game we get the bowl.
Yeah.
You know, I think people really wouldn't want to be there for that, you know, celebrate with the team and all. So I just, you know, it was baby steps, but you know, it's I feel things are going in the right direction with the loss. So, you know, it was sad, but it wasn't the end of the world. It was a much better feeling than I felt after the first game.
Yeah, when you lose a 20-plus point lead, it stings a little more out of the gate too.
Yeah.
Hey Steve, thanks for calling, man.
Better. But thank you, guys.
Thanks, Steve.
We got Ian on the line. Ian wants to talk about the game last night. Ian, what's up, man?
What's up?
What do you got, brother?
All right, let's talk about that. So there was a time there where that Wildcat was working for us, and they were able to get a lot of yards from it. And I feel like their defense was able to adapt. And there was a point there where it just wasn't working anymore, but they just kept doing it. And I'm wondering what you think that maybe Brand wasn't able to adapt and find something else.
Yeah, defensively, we were kind of cutting out, I think, a little bit on Ian. But defensively, DJ Elliott said, you know, we were doing well. Everything was going smooth. And then I asked him about the last drive. What happened all of a sudden that they're able to move the ball? I mean, it was like a hot knife through butter. And he said, you know, they were hitting us on those outs, and they weren't hitting anything earlier on that, and they just picked us. You know, I mean, they picked us apart.
I mean, that is true. I remember a lot of times where he was trying to throw those out patterns, and he was selling them over his receivers. Or a couple times they dropped them.
Yep.
You know, no doubt. But But there were times where he was just way too hard. He was throwing fastballs when he should have been throwing touch balls. And, you know, I also wondered in a way, if I didn't get to talk to Elliot afterwards, you did. I don't know that they weren't trying to do the same thing they did against, I'm trying to remember which game it was, where they kind of allowed them to make a drive to a certain point and then try to stop. Obviously, it was a different situation than this because you couldn't give up a field goal either.
Right.
But I wondered if they were at first trying to go so far.
Yeah, give me a little something soft.
And then, you know, the bend and don't break kind of
so
mentality.
They don't get the over the top to set up a field goal.
Correct.
They just keep me in front.
Yeah, keep them in front and all that at first. Yeah.
Hey, Ian, thanks, man, for the call. We really appreciate it. I mean, it is a tough deal, you know, when you're so close to tasting success. You're just, it's like that feeling's there, right? You fall short and you're just not quite ready to be the guy, right?
Yeah.
You can't lead yet in the SEC East.
You know, and I heard people last night in some of the post-game radio getting upset about, you know, oh, this was just another Kentucky way to lose or whatever. I don't buy that for this one. I mean, we've seen bad losses with Kentucky
Southern
in the
Miss.
Past, way in the past.
Two. So the Southern Miss game, that's a Kentucky way to lose, right?
That's
what those people are talking about.
Right.
How do you manage that? How do you lose a 20-something point lead at home out of the gate in a game that is known as this has to be a victory, right?
Yeah.
Got to start strong on the season.
Yeah. I mean, you're looking at overtime. You've just tied it up. And maybe Georgia just finally catches fire, picks the right plays to get you, and starts hitting those out passes they weren't hitting before.
Settling for the field goal is just, it's a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah.
Especially when you have Benny, and then it doesn't set up. It doesn't work. And then they try to switch it up. Do you like Steven Johnson after Benny with the throw to Dorian Baker in the end zone?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and what about having to settle? They were settling for a field goal and then the holding call.
Yeah.
I mean, that one hurts too. You're talking about possible swing of 6-7 points right there.
Now, and Stoops did talk about that, was asked by Jen Smith from the Herald Leader about, okay, so, you know, why not still kick the field goal? He just made one. He's made a 54-yarder before.
Uh-huh.
Why not go with the field goal? It's a field position thing for me.
Yeah.
You know, I want to punt it, put it deep.
Right. Correct.
Yeah. Even if it goes to the 20. And they did get a 3 and out. And he mentioned that.
Yeah.
He said at that point in time,
true,
if we miss, they have great field position.
Yes.
Worst case scenario, okay, they start with a touchback. You know, it's 20 yards.
True. Yeah.
And it did work. But it's the fact that you take the points off the board.
Yeah.
When they're there.
Which would have been 3 more.
Yeah, and now you have to go earn them again.
And now Georgia has to go get a field goal just to tie it. You know,
so possibly. He's a field position situation
thinker
there.
That because I think Grant McInnes has been pretty good punting. For the most part, he has been pretty good. Now, last night, I think that was the situation where he put it in the end zone pretty deep.
It was, I'm not real sure if there was
a
miscommunication,
That or they didn't want him having the chance to return because he was dangerous.
Or
dangerous
shank it. You know, what if he shanks it and it winds up being like a 12-yard punt?
True.
But because he's trying to go coffin corner on it and it just sails on him.
Yeah.
And then it's a really bad decision.
Well, because as it was only about a 25, 30-yard punt anyway for where they were and put it in the end zone, comes out to the 20.
Hey, Kevin, on the phone. Kevin, what's up, man? We want to talk about the game?
Yeah, question. I understand towards the end of the game, I mean, you want to tie the game at least. We obviously would have rather had a touchdown, but you kick off and then, you know, once they get to midfield and it looks like they're clicking and it looks like they're going to be getting close to field goal range and we're still sitting there with 2 timeouts. You know, why are we not calling a timeout and at least giving us a little bit of time left on the clock if they get a touchdown or if they get a field goal? You know, at least we got a chance. And am I not correct? Didn't we have at least 2 timeouts?
Yes, it was 2.
What do you think the thinking was on that? Because if you let them run the clock out and we got sitting there with 2 timeouts, we got no chance to score.
Or even why not, when they let them run it down to 3 seconds, take at least a timeout with like 8 seconds. At least you're going to get a kick return possibility. You know, a miracle in Commonwealth or something, you know, a chance.
Yeah. Mark Stoops was asked about it and did mention it. He was at, you know, why not take one of the 2 timeouts at least in that situation? And I'm not, you know how postgame goes, it goes fast and somebody else asks a question. His answer to why not use the timeouts was, well, they were moving so slow that our hope was that they do not get down into range. But again, like Keith just mentioned, if it's ticking down at 8 and 5, why not go ahead and call it? You know they're still going to kick the field goal if it's 7 or 8 seconds.
Yeah.
But at correct. 2, that's it. We're either going to overtime or they're going to hit it and win it. So there wasn't a follow-up question. You know, the time just wasn't there to really come back with, well, wait a minute now. Not when they were driving, just there on that last play. Yeah. So I'm sure it'll be addressed on Monday. Coach Stoops will talk at noon, as he normally does, for his weekly news conference. It seems like, why not give yourself at least a second? Give me a crack.
I've even seen, this is way unconventional, but I've even seen where a coach will just let the team score. I mean, let them run it in.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Let them, and then give us a minute or two. I don't know what time it was when they crossed midfield or got in about the 40 or 35 yard line, but I mean, there is a thinking that, I mean, just let them score, give us a minute and a half or whatever, and at least you got a shot. But once they got that close, I mean, it's almost a chip shot, and then you're helpless. But
yeah,
to not even use one of those timeouts, it just, as a fan, you're just like, I don't understand that.
You could hear some grumblings in the fan, in the stands too,
burning?
Couldn't you? There was like, hey, wait, you know, like you could.
And I understand what he's, the defense had done well.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden, it's just they're hitting and hitting and hitting and moving.
Yeah.
And if they start moving, and I understand he said they were moving slowly.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't want to give them the timeout to set up something big, right?
To
really set up the next couple plays, draw some stuff up over on the sidelines, and then move it into field. Well, they're already in field goal range. Again, it just goes back to that last.
At that point, it's too late. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
When
yeah,
we're at 24 sure. seconds in 23 and 22, and we're just watching this thing roll off.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's still been an exciting season. We still got, what, 3 more games?
Sure, yeah.
So let's just, keep cheering them on, hope for the best, and we got a big game next week.
Yeah,
thanks, Kevin.
All right, go Cavs. All right.
Yeah, noon kick down there in Knoxville.
I know. So,
naturally.
Basketball game on Friday night.
Yeah.
Noon kick on Saturday. Basketball game on Sunday.
Basketball on Sunday. That's a great point, Keith. We will talk about that right after this break. Because we've just been yapping for a while. So we're gonna come right back here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN 1300, 381-1313, if you want to be a part of the show. Back in a moment.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Ride in your truck with style. On the road, off the road. That's the lifted life. Let your truck work for you. On the farm, on the job site. That's the lifted life. Take your truck out to play. At the lake, on the trail. That's the lifted life. Your truck is a part of you, whether it's for style, work, or play. So why not have the best of the best? Lucky's Off-Road is the truck accessories authority for getting you that lifted life. Lucky's installs everything you need to pull that boat, conquer that mountain, or function on that construction site. Suspension lifts, wheels and tires, winches, trailer hitches, toolboxes, bed covers, floor mats, step bars, bed liners, ladder racks, brush guards, vent visors, LED light bars, audio, video, you name it. Lucky's Off-Road has got it. Visit our showroom. Call Lucky's Off-Road at 859-299-4411 or get a quote at luckysoffroad.com today. Why? Because you deserve that lifted life.
Come experience one of Lexington's hottest spots, the Tulip Bistro and Bar. Located in the heart of Chevy Chase at 355 Romney Road, you can enjoy their lighter fare menu such as tulip tacos or their decadent gourmet cheeseburgers, voted one of Lexington's best. For a more formal evening and dining experience, enjoy Tulip's delicious entrees like cast iron seared ribeye, or treat yourself to the best short ribs you'll ever eat. And don't forget about their seasonal dinner and salad specials. You'll also find fresh oysters and other sophisticated creations by Chef Spencer. Come enjoy their great wine list and outstanding service. The Tulip Bistro and Bar is open Monday through Saturday for dinner. The Tulip Bistro and Bar, 355 Romney Road, in the heart of Chevy Chase. Go to their website, thetulipbistroandbar.com, or call them at 367-6687 to make reservations. That's 859-367-6687. Let the Tulip Bistro and Bar be your next great dining experience.
Treat your clothes like royalty by treating them to Emperor's Cleaners. With over 40 years of experience, Emperor's Cleaners has everything your clothes need. Fine clothiers even recommended Emperor's for brands like St. John's Knits. They specialize in same-day service. Bring in your shirts by 9 a.m., they'll be done the same day. Emperor's Cleaners is a family-run business, ensuring top-quality service. Located on Richmond Road in the Eidelauer Plaza, Emperor's Cleaners will treat you and your clothes like royalty.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300. The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Well, just in case you missed us at the top of the hour, it is not Dan Reefer and or Mary Jo Perino. You were stuck with ABC 36 Sports Director Alex Risen, LEX 18 Sports Anchor Keith Farmer.
What was her MJ?
MJP 18.
Yeah. Tweet her now.
Yeah.
Lots.
She's never changing the 18 either, by the way.
Yeah, that's it's a soft spot.
It's branding, too.
Yeah, true.
You can't mix it up on the people.
Yeah. It's
they're used to typing.
It's kind of like a tattoo. You know? She can't get rid of it.
I can't type in at Mary Jo Perino.
Right.
Ford.
True.
There's a lot going on. You know, I can't remember. MJP 18, got it.
Yeah.
Short, sweet, to the point.
It's perfect.
She's down in New Orleans, so if you do tweet her, let's be honest, she's not seeing it.
Not until about 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
In the afternoon, probably.
Probably.
Let's see. She watched the UK game last night. A lot of cheering.
A lot of yelling.
Yeah.
Knowing her.
Suburban Street afterwards. French Quarter. She was... Happy birthday, Mary Jo.
Happy birthday, yeah. The celebration.
That kind of morning, right?
Yeah. It's tough. It's just tough.
But it does feel different.
It does feel different.
It's just an opportunity lost.
And DJ Elliott said, you know, last night, again, sometimes you want something so much.
Yeah.
It's set up, it's there, and you want it so much that you forget technique. That's what he had told me when I said, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Again, on that last drive. And he said, they started hitting the stuff, everything's going, but you know what? Sometimes, in their minds, maybe my guys are thinking, I want it.
Mm-hmm.
We're so close. This is it. And they kind of forget. He's not saying that they weren't paying attention. But you know what I mean? It's just that you're not thinking of the technique on one play. And so that guy that was dropping the ball, who's catching it, now you're just a half step out of position too.
Yeah.
You know, you're not noticing it as much.
I think, too, we've seen this a lot with this team, that the hurdle it still has to get over. You're up, you're in a game, and now you're looking at the clock just wishing it'll go faster and faster. Tick. Instead of doing your job and just going out there playing, finishing a team.
Yeah.
It seemed like after Kentucky scored there in the third quarter, what was it,
21-16?
About 9 minutes left. Yeah. They take the 21-16 lead. And then it just seemed like from that point, the offense stalled. And it's almost like you don't feel the coaches are putting him in a bad position.
No.
Now, part of that, too, was, you know, trying to hit Bidette on the long one.
Yeah.
I mean, and he was, he's hit, those two have a connection. And he hit him in stride. Maybe that's a touchdown, you know, and maybe it's not, but it's a big chunk of yardage.
Yeah, Mark Stoops is a field position guy. No matter what happens there, if it's not a touchdown.
Yeah.
If it just catches the ball, you're flipping the field.
Exactly, yeah.
Worst case scenario, you're flipping the field.
Right.
You can always play what if, and that's what we do.
Yeah, yeah.
But, man, it's still, I mean, rewatching the highlight, you know, from our angle, too, from what, up way up top on the roof,
mm-hmm.
and shooting it down, it's just, how do you bobble it? You know, how he had it, and then it was just kind of
from such
gifted.
A sure-handed receiver. I mean, you know, he has been solid all year, and just the luck of it all, just to hit the defender in stride. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, that's how good a pass it was, you know, but how does it not just bounce
fall
away?
Down.
Fall away.
The turnovers.
Bounce way far away. I mean, you know, yeah. I know. Yeah, the turnovers are...
They finally caught up.
Exactly, because they've won games where they've lost the turnover battle, and everybody's like, how are they doing this? Well, okay, now they did it.
And maybe it seems a little more, you know, Vandy, the scoop and score, Mississippi State, you're getting ready to put them away. It's going to be done, right?
Right.
And all of a sudden, Steven Johnson fumbles, and it's returned to the house for six there, too. And all of a sudden, great, now we're in a game again with Mississippi State when we should have just buried them.
Yes.
And so this time it was, I know it's not a, you know, a pick six or a scoop and score, but it had that kind of feeling a little bit. I mean, Kentucky had been playing well, but it's just that little snake bitten. It's part of football. It happens. But man, when Bidette bobbles it, it's that was the one, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of an extra punch in the gut to Georgia.
Yes.
This is our time. And maybe those guys start, they just hit that path. You know, like we're done.
Right.
And it kind of starts to set in a little bit. Instead, it sets them up.
You know what else hit me on that one? I specifically remember, I don't remember exactly what happened with the Georgia possession before it, but I remember it being pretty lengthy. Maybe they drove down and ended up having to punt.
I'd have to go back and look for time possession. But, yeah.
But the defense comes off. Kentucky got the ball. They go out. That was the very first play of the drive where he misses Bidette. They intercept, and the defense is right back out there. And I'm thinking, oh, boy, the defense barely got to the bench and sat down, and now they're going back out there, and that's weighing on them and the mindset and everything. And like you said, now Georgia's got this feeling of, oh, we got the ball back. Great. Yeah. Here we go.
Re-energized.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, second chance.
Momentum, right?
Yeah.
When you keep momentum out of the game and you have it on your sideline and you don't allow Georgia to come back, then, right? You're in sole possession of the SEC East. You win the game and all is well in the world.
Yeah. And Kentucky fans don't know what to do with themselves.
What happens if UK wins that game? Fan-wise. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Is it pandemonium? Do they rush the field?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think
I don't think they would. I don't think so.
See, yesterday I told Dan, I said, I would hope that you don't.
Yeah.
Georgia's bad, and I know it's sole possession of the SEC East, and I know you haven't beaten you know, some of these teams in a while. And
right.
It's great to get victories.
Yeah.
But I feel like this team, we're good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think Alabama probably would be the only one. I don't even think they'd rush LSU or...
If Florida were here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, to break a streak.
And they beat Florida.
Yeah.
You're on the field.
Yeah, yeah. I think so.
Maybe not Tennessee again?
Maybe not.
Since it's still...
Yeah.
But man, if Tennessee were to be here next year, which they are.
Yeah. Next year.
And the stars align.
Next year's the schedule, right? I'm not trying to not talk about this year's team, but next year's the schedule.
You get Florida, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Louisville.
Yeah.
That's the fun one, right? That's the one that the season ticket holders go, oh.
Yeah. I would hope
this
so.
Is why I pay.
And you've gone, we expect a bowl season, so, you know.
And, again, silver lining. Jordan Jones,
he's a
beast. Last night.
A beast.
Fast, fantastic effort. DJ Elliott, big on him. Said, hey, he's got a high motor. He keeps playing.
You know, yeah.
And I know that he's not happy because we lost, but the kid plays hard out. I mean, he was everywhere. He's flying around. It's awesome. And it's awesome because he's a sophomore.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm excited that he'll be back.
Yeah.
We had noticed that he went out. Briefly,
yes.
Eli Brown comes in, makes a stop.
Yeah.
DJ Elliott, love that.
Yeah.
There's depth all of a sudden.
Uh-huh.
You know, it used to be beginning of the year. You know, there's talk of, I don't know if we have any linebackers.
Sure.
Who do we put in?
Saying, you two are the guys, right? How are you going to hold up?
We're not deep.
To Denzel Ware and Jones.
Now there's depth.
Yeah.
They're okay putting in Eli Brown.
Yes.
And he came up, because that was a huge stop. I mean, he was in the backfield. I can't remember if it was Chubb or Michelle, but it was a run play that he got up into the gap and, hey, that's it.
Yeah.
You're not getting anything. Cash Daniel on special teams.
Oh, my
God. Flying around.
Yeah. He had a couple of big hits.
Huge hits. Great to see that.
Yeah.
Offensive line. You still get some depth there. You're going to get guys back.
Right.
There's still games this season. But I just like to look forward to the fact that it's a young team.
It really is.
It's a young team.
I think people don't really realize how young they are.
Benny. Benny Snell is a freshman.
True freshman.
It's right? crazy what he's doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have to feel good about the progress. You have to feel good. All the calls so far this morning. If you want to be a part of it, give us a call, 381-1313. We'll talk about UK, Georgia. The progress has been shown. At least you're in the mix. People want to say the SEC's down, right?
Yeah.
You look at Mississippi State beating Texas A&M yesterday.
Yeah.
Vandy, oh, so close to beating Auburn.
Yeah.
Block field goal, almost a bluegrass miracle-esque type fourth down, and then they eventually get picked off. But
yeah.
That's two of the best teams in the West, right?
Sure.
East is really down sure, in the eyes of many.
Yeah.
But the West, with Bama, A&M was 4, and then Auburn was 9, right, in the college football playoff rankings? That whole thing almost totally blew up.
Right.
For A&M, it did blow up. So you have to feel good that at least Kentucky, even if it's down in quotation marks, if you want to say it's down, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But they're near the top instead of the bottom, right?
They're in the conversation, right? And yes, they are at the top. Yes,
you know, we're in the press box area yesterday, and we're seeing it. I think it was halftime, and we're sitting around with some folks, and they show it on CBS during the LSU Alabama game. I think
yes.
It was halftime.
Yes,
and they show, and everybody's looking, you know, because it's that weird moment where they're up at near the top, because everybody's looking for Kentucky, and you're used to looking at the bottom. You know,
your eyes just gravitate to the bottom, right?
They're showing the SEC standings.
And then you look up.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
They're above a lot of teams.
Yeah.
That's what makes it hurt.
Now, but I will say this. There were games they had to take care of this year, and they did. I said they had to beat Vanderbilt. They had to beat South Carolina. They had to beat Missouri if they were going to go bowling.
Yeah.
And they did that. So that has to give you some comfort about this program and where it's headed. Now they just got to figure out a way when they're in there with some of those other teams like Georgia last night, you got to put it away. You got to finish it. You know, you got to find out ways to, Florida was early when they were still.
And just that was a hangover,
figure
right?
Things out. Yeah.
Too. I mean, you lose Southern Miss, and now we got to go to the Swamp. We're not ready.
And had the injury and
not
all
ready.
That. Injury with Drew Barker, and that throws things into a tizzy. Yeah. And so, yeah. I mean, So they will find a way to play with those teams, and we've already pointed out how young they are and how the schedule sets up better next year. So I think you can do nothing but look at this team and think great thoughts.
It's optimism, right?
Yeah.
You gotta be positive. Now that's the thing. We'll take a break. Join us. Give us a call, 381-1313 here on the Darren and Mary Joe Show on ESPN 1300 featuring Alex Risen and Keith Farmer. Back in a moment, still talking UK, Georgia. Maybe we'll start talking some hoops, too. Try to get you really excited about tonight's exhibition closer. In just a moment.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Republic Bank is all about easy. That's why you can pay your Fayette County property tax bill at any of our 4 convenient Lexington Republic banking centers. So say goodbye to parking downtown and say hello to Republic Bank's friendly staff and our easy and convenient parking. Or make things even easier and use one of our drive-thrus. Paying your property tax bill can be easy. Visit a Republic banking center before December 31st. Republic Bank. It's just easier here. Member FDIC.
Open soon on Vine Street downtown.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
I worry that people who want us to stand up for them against bully insurance companies are afraid to ask for our help because they think they can't afford us. Let me put your mind at ease. Here's what no recovery, no fee means at our firm. First, your initial consultation is absolutely free. Next, we understand that most people don't have the money to pay hourly attorney's fees, and the insurance industry has unlimited monies. So you only pay us a percentage of your recovery when we win. Finally, there are expenses in working a case up, like accident reconstruction, investigators, court filing fees, and so on. We advance these costs as well. If we make no recovery, you don't owe these either. You need a firm with deep pockets to fight the insurance companies toe-to-toe. You will never owe us one penny unless we win. Visit forthepeople.com for more information. No charge there either. Morgan & Morgan, forthepeople.com. Offices, Lexington.
Command and conquer.
That's really what you want to do when it comes to cleaning your home or office. You want to say, this is what needs to be done, and then you want it done, and you want it done well. That's why Command and Conquer Cleaning has so many satisfied customers. You tell them what you want done, and they take care of the rest. Cleaning your home or office with satisfaction guaranteed. Call or text 859-302-0142, 859-302-0142 for your free consultation and quote. Command and Conquer Cleaning provides a quality job at the most affordable prices. Locally owned and operated, so you get service unmatched in the business. Call or text Lori today for your free consultation and quote at 859-302-0142. That's 859-302-0142.
Command and conquer.
That's how cleaning should be.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
It's Alex Risen from ABC 36 and Keith Farmer from LAX 18. Again, you can feel free to tweet Dan and Mary Jo. They're just not here.
I haven't even checked my Twitter. You can tweet us.
You can tweet us. We have Twitter accounts. That's
right.
I guess
I should check mine, right?
How about that?
Maybe I got a ton of questions.
I'll try to do my radio intro voice at Alex Risen. At Farmer. No, what is yours now?
Keith
at
Farmer
Keith Farmer
18.
Yeah. What, didn't it used to be Farmer LEX 18?
Might have been.
I'm not trying to confuse people.
Keith Farmer 18.
I digress. At Keith Farmer 18 or at Alex Risen if you want to join us on the social media sphere. Or you can give us a call, 381-1313, to talk about UK and Georgia last night at Commonwealth Stadium. Or maybe you want to talk about hoops because, hey, look, you're optimistic about moving forward this season. Progress has been shown. They didn't get blown out by Georgia. Yeah, it was a tough loss. Seems like most folks are optimistic, positive this Sunday morning about the direction of the program and the team.
How do you feel about that noon start next week with Tennessee?
Of course, it's a noon start, though.
But there was talk around our shop that it might be the 3:30 game, and maybe if they beat Georgia, maybe it is, but thought it might be the 3:30 game because there evidently are not a lot of great games next week.
There are not a lot of great games, SEC-wise, and yeah, I think you're right. If Kentucky beats Georgia, maybe it's that 3:30 CBS game.
Yeah.
Because the SEC East is on the line.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no way around it, right? Kentucky.
Right, right.
Pretty much, I mean, Florida's at LSU.
Right.
Not next week, but
yeah. But had they won last night, good chance Kentucky.
I think Kentucky's kind of in the driver, you know, in a way in the driver's seat.
Sure.
Tennessee, you know, with all the turmoil and stuff that's happened, there's a lot of storylines obviously in that game. So I could see where it would be the SEC game of the week.
Well, and with you know, Kentucky just having the one more SEC game, they would have done what they can do.
Right.
And like you said, Florida at LSU, that's not real optimistic.
Tigers look pretty good against Alabama.
Defense, I mean, they to just give up 10 points, yeah. Pretty good against that team.
Do you think there's even a shot that they already have their coach, LSU, moving forward?
In Orgeron?
Yeah. Most people I talk to say, not a chance.
Really? Really?
We've got an
LSU fan over at 18, and,
okay,
and he, I don't know that he's real into Orgeron, but they're into winning, so.
10-0 Alabama.
That's pretty good.
But in LSU's world, that's still a loss.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's why that dude that was there before is gone already.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all well and
they
good.
They don't like losses.
Yeah. Close losses,
a
I don't
loss.
Care.
Yeah.
Yeah. Close losses doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
In Death Valley. It means you lost.
Kind of like around here, you expect to go
40-0. Exactly.
But you're not going to fire the coach, but you're still.
That NIT year,
yeah.
you get one of those.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Get back on track now. Stop losing to rec league teams in the Final yeah. Four when you're undefeated.
Yeah, I think that's happened. I think it's been all right since then.
Anyway. Hey, speaking of hoops, UK Asbury tonight, a 7 o'clock tip on the SEC Network.
Yes.
56-4.
I think they got a chance.
Asbury?
So you're saying there's
a chance. Yeah, the outcome's pretty much known for that one.
Yeah.
I saw, did you see the 56-4 exhibition game all-time stat? UK?
56-4.
So they're probably going to be 57-4 after tonight. I'm not going to lie, I didn't look up the four games they lost. It wasn't readily, like, right there.
Yeah.
You don't talk about the losses in exhibition play in the UK notes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You leave those, you got to go do some hunting, and we had other stuff going on.
Sure.
So I didn't do any hunting and pecking. But I do want to know. So if you know, give us a call, 381-1313. Maybe you remember one of these exhibition games. Maybe you poured over the, you know, the media guide. Because it does have all of the records, mm-hmm. and it shows mm-hmm. exhibition games.
Four losses. Yeah, that's...
Who'd you lose to?
Yeah.
You know, Coach Cal mentioned... He would love to change the exhibition format.
Because it used to be even worse than it is now. Like, yeah. when I was growing up, you played
YMCA.
Athletes in yeah. Action and all these kind of
Bringing the Harlem Globetrotters. No, I'm just
kidding. I mean, which were decent teams. They were decent, you know, because they were former college players.
Right.
But so much different now where you can go against an actual team that has actual plays, actual defense, and all of that.
It is good to go against somebody else just to get a different look. They're trying to make sure that you can't run your stuff.
Yeah.
So at least if you're able to run your stuff like UK right. was against Clarion, and that was the big thing.
Yeah.
We were able to run our stuff.
Yeah.
And you can do what we wanted to do.
Yeah.
And we get to mess around with lineups and see how guys play with each other Correct. And play off each other. So that's good.
What is Coach Cal looking for? Is he looking for we'll play Michigan State home and home?
That's yeah.
And they won't, they don't count?
Right. It wouldn't count. If you're going to let us do exhibitions anyway, and it's two games, max,
yeah,
then why not let us actually do what we want to do? You know, which is, for UK, stay the gold standard, right?
Yeah.
If somebody wants to play Asbury, great.
Yeah.
Go for it. And he's happy to have helped out the Asburys, Transies, Georgetown, UPike, Kentucky State. You know, all those teams over the years have gotten cracks. Clarion, alma mater. It's nice yeah. to do that kind of
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
It's cool. Bring them into Rupp Arena.
Right.
But how about for our fans,
mm-hmm.
so we really know where we're at?
Yeah.
And his buddy Tom Izzo is probably already on board with that,
but don't
is you, why I think he's floated it.
Don't you think that home-and-home thing would probably be like, you know, Hawaii'd get a lot of calls?
Yeah.
You know? I'd do it.
Or the trips again. You know, they're playing Arizona State in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
Cal says it's the trip of the year. He's wanting to drum it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Get down here. That Monday after Thanksgiving, the weekend is going to be fun. An experience like no other.
Man, I got to tell you, out of all the trips, if you're going to go to one, I mean, not only is it the Bahamas, but when I was in Louisville went on one of those trips, and I saw all these fans just hanging out with them. Kentucky, we saw recently, went on one of those trips, and yeah. fans are hanging out with them.
And that's what he said.
That's the time to go. You can get up close and personal with the players right there in the Bahamas.
He wants to do a dinner and stuff, too?
Yeah.
Open practices.
Yeah.
Come down. Hang out.
Go watch some basketball. Go hang out with them at the beach. It actually is a really good trip if yeah. you can afford to do it.
Yeah. That's always the catch, right?
Sure.
Can you bring the family? He wants it to be a family affair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bring the kids. Uh-huh. It's after Thanksgiving. Let's have a full weekend. The game's on Monday night. ESPN2.
Right.
We got a little while. It's November 28th.
Arizona State, right?
Yeah.
It's so odd. Arizona State, Kentucky, and the Bahamas.
Because where else would you play it?
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. The Palestra.
Naturally. I think it's part of the Atlanta Showcase. I don't know the other games. I believe there are some other games.
Atlantis or Atlanta?
It should be Atlanta. Atlantis. That would be, you know what? That would actually be weirder if it was in Atlanta than it.
Yeah, it would be. Or if it was the Atlanta. Yeah, exactly.
Why are you going to Atlanta? Just go to the Bahamas.
Yeah.
If you're going to go south. UK Asbury, 7 o'clock. Should be fun. What do you want to see tonight, Keith?
Out of this team tonight?
Yeah.
I think
anything different?
No, I think just like you said, and he hasn't said what combination he's going to play.
No.
So maybe just to see how they react with a different combination. I don't think there's anything specific I would want to see out of this team other than just, as he was looking for, more hustle, more effort.
Sure.
You know. It's an exhibition game. I just don't know what we're going to see out of this team with, you know, we're ready to get it started. You're not going to see much out of this team with some of the first couple of games when they get into these Canisius and Duquesne games and things like that.
Stephen F. Austin
yeah.
on Friday?
Yeah.
Ugh.
I know. Yeah. I mean, it's just what it is, what it is. This is a talented team. I mean, that's the thing. If there's one thing I want to see, outside shooting.
Outside shooting.
I want to see more and better outside shooting.
We'll talk about some outside shooting, and maybe we'll talk about the guys playing with motor and who is playing insane right now with his motor. Up next after the break here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show, ESPN 1300. Give us a call. You can still talk about the UK-Georgia game if you like, or you can talk about hoops coming up tonight, the UK-Asbury game. Give us a call, 381-1313 here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN 1300, featuring Alex Risen and Keith Farmer. Back in a moment.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Hey, sports fans, football season is here, and it's time to get in on the action. MyBookie.lv, an industry-leading website, is offering a 50% bonus when you join and deposit today. Are you sick and tired of getting the runaround when you ask for a payout? Come join MyBookie.lv. With decades of expertise, no hassle payouts, and no fine print, you'll experience the greatest customer service in the business, guaranteed. Did the game already start? Don't sweat it. MyBookie offers in-game live action on all your favorite sporting events. Call 844-900-2387 or visit us online at mybookie.lv to open an account and claim your 50% bonus. Pull out your smartphone to sign up with our user-friendly mobile site for adrenaline on demand. What are you waiting for? Get in the game. Call now to claim your 50% bonus before it's gone. That's 844-900-2387 or go online to mybookie.lv to open an account and start winning today. Only the biggest, only the best, only at mybookie.lv. Sign up today.
Shouldn't you have a checking account that makes your life easier? Introducing Easy Checking from Republic Bank. Relax with no minimum balance or monthly maintenance fees. Easily send money through our app with Mobile Pop Money. Log into your account by scanning your finger or eye with your smartphone. And for easy access to your money, you can use 85,000 surcharge-free ATMs worldwide. Easy checking for your hard-earned money. We're Republic Bank, and it's just easier here. $50 required to open checking account. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Black Friday is about getting a great deal. Well, how about this one? At Tony's Steaks and Seafood, we believe in generosity. So on Black Friday only, visit our Lexington restaurant, purchase a $100 gift card, and you pay only $80. It's not valid for phone purchases, so come on in or go to tonysoflexington.com. It's valid only at the Lexington location. Drop by Tony's at 401 West Main or visit online. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show. Local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Yeah, getting some vibes going. Our man Josh keeping us strong with the beats here on ESPN Radio 1300. No Dan Reefer, no Mary Jo Perino. Got Alex Risen and Keith Farmer. Al on the line wants to talk UK football. Al, what's up, man?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Doing good.
Last year, the football game was kind of interrupted with the Breeders' Cup and the run by American Pharoah, which a lot of people watched that on the widescreen over at the UK Commonwealth Stadium. You know, the drop by Burdett, the fumble by Johnson, really was the two critical plays of the game. I think that Kentucky played great, that the game was not really put on the shoulders of Steven Johnson, because I think the snail sort of took the pressure, honestly, off the whole offensive team. He done a tremendous job, as we all saw, running the ball. I think that this is a game that if you win, that Coach Stoops can put an asterisk by this game as the one that continued his coaching scheme here at Kentucky, because he's taken over the defense. It has played great, had a position to win this game, go down at Knoxville and beat them, and have aspirations of playing down in Atlanta and turning Atlanta into Catalina like our basketball team used to do. So, really, we can't really really complain about the season, because, you know, two or three games ago we had this guy who was looking for replacement candidates for Coach Stoops, and quite honestly, he's turned the season around quite nicely.
Yeah, no doubt, Al. I mean, Benny Snell, huge game. When you get the drops and stuff that, you know, just pop in there, and it's part of football. You know, you've got to erase those plays. And Eddie Grant said, yeah, of course, you know, we would have loved Jeff to caught the ball, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But he comes over to the sideline, I just give him a tap. Hey, you know, let's go.
Yeah.
Because if we're going to beat Georgia, you got to erase it.
You got to forget it. You got to move on.
So, and I think these guys can do that. I think they have the ability, you know, especially nowadays. You know, I feel like maybe there's some lingering. I know CJ Conrad's one of those guys where it's, I think, you know, it really bothers him when he has dropped passes and stuff. And
yeah,
you want to say, CJ, you got to forget it, man. Benny Snell, if he doesn't get the yardage, doesn't get in the end zone, it bothers him. But they're able to move on, and they are thinking about next time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just so close. Ugh.
You know, and the thing with that is that even with the Wildcat, it seemed like that they had 11 in the box plus the referee that got injured, and they couldn't, they still couldn't stop the run. I mean, this kid has the knack to be able to find not just holes but creases in the holes to be able to move the other team backwards. You know, there was one time it seemed like that he had pushed them all the way back to Takes Creek Road, where he was moving the pile, and to come out of high school and have that type of experience, if you will, and to play in the toughest conference over the last 5 years, the SEC, put up the kind of numbers, it speaks well to the courageous snail, if you will.
Absolutely. Hey, when your dad plays in the XFL,
yeah,
you got to have some muscle, a little grit.
Yeah. It worried me at first. I don't know why. Maybe it's traditionalist or something like that. But first drive, they go to that Wildcat. And a little soon, and you're so used to just seeing the Wildcat when it's down on the goal line. And yet he makes it work. You know, he had the big run that got them down there to the goal line.
Yeah.
And then just finished it off. And so I'm not doubting it anymore. It's just odd to see because I'm so used to not seeing it from so far away.
Yeah, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, yeah. And, and you know, the funny thing too, Al, a couple of games ago I asked Benny, I was like, do your eyes just light up when they say, let's go into the Wildcat? He said, not really. He said, anytime they call my name and say I'm getting the handoff, you know, or I'm doing the Wildcat, my eyes light up.
Yeah,
it's such a great kid and just loves to run the ball and to churn the legs and keep it going.
Well, you know, it's funny because I heard on, you know, the game show before the game, and I had even commented that they could have done a pass play or two out of that particular set, and Brent Musburger on national TV was saying the same thing, that they saw Snell throwing the ball in practice and they could really throw the ball, and I thought that there would be a gadget play, not a reverse gadget play, but where Snell would actually go back, you know, do the Tim Tebow move to the, you know, take two steps towards the line and back up and throw the ball to Dorian Baker, one of the wideouts. And I thought Eddie Green, you know, had an opportunity to do some creative things out of Wildcat. And that was the only drawback that I saw, that he didn't have a gadget play or two that, you know, come out of it with snail passing or something like that.
Yeah, they ran that one reverse. And other than that, it was pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a pass play, and they hit the one.
Yeah.
The reverse that was it Timmons?
To Johnson. I know, it was like
Timmons to Johnson.
Because it was out of the Wildcat.
To Bidette, right?
Yes.
Against Mississippi State.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that
right.
one.
I'm sorry. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I thought you were talking about the double reverse they had last time.
That's the only one that I remember off the top of my head where they passed it
out
of the formation.
Yeah. Maybe what worries them a little bit is, I think, was it last year or year before when JoJo threw one and it was a horrible pass and got picked off, and maybe that just sits in the back of their mind and they're like, yeah, don't go here yet. Don't do it yet.
Al, thank you so much, man, for the call. We're going to get to a break here in just a minute. Give us a call, 381-1313. You can still talk about the UK-George game. Again, we'll talk about some hoops. And since Al mentioned the Breeders' Cup,
yeah,
we should mention the Breeders' Cup. It's a big deal.
$6 million. Here last year.
it's pretty important.
Bob Baffert's kind of good at it.
Apparently. Right, you win three straight.
That's crazy.
That's his own triple crown.
Yeah. The Bob Baffert Classic.
Might as well rename it.
Yeah.
Took down the richest horse in North American history.
Crazy.
Yes. All right. Yeah. Hey, we'll give it a talk here on ESPN Radio 1300 after the break. Give us a call, 381-1313. Join Alex Risen and Keith Farmer on the Dan and Mary Joe Show.
The following is an advertisement. I want to be as blunt as I've ever been in one of my ads. All lawyers are not the same. I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. Sometimes I read in the newspaper that a certain lawyer or law firm is representing someone involved in a serious accident, and my heart just sinks for that family. There are lawyers who haven't been to trial in years, or ever, and insurance companies know who they are. There are some who just take the last best offer. A case settled by one firm for $100,000 may have a value of $1 million if handled by another. Insurance companies know which lawyers get results at trial. It's their job too. And those firms receive the best early settlements. Visit forthepeople.com to learn about our 26 years of results and verdicts. Remember, you only have one day in court. Morgan & Morgan, forthepeople.com.
Offices, Lexington. This message has been an advertisement.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300. WLHG Lexington. And LM Communications Broadcasting Station.
On ESPN Radio.
From ESPN NFL Nation coach reporter Mike Wells, the Colts are at the midpoint of the season with a 3-5 record and are 2 games behind the Houston Texans for first place in the AFC South. The Colts have to play 5 of their remaining 8 games against teams with at least a 500 record. Coach Chuck Pagano said the final 8 games of the season will be a defining moment for them.
This NFL Nation report is brought to you by GEICO. The NFL on ESPN Radio.
The best of the NBA on ESPN. In-state showdowns highlight a Wednesday night doubleheader. First, Jeremy Lin returns to Madison Square Garden to take on Melo and the Knicks.
Anthony knocks it down!
Then, James Harden and Kawhi Leonard square off in a Texas duel.
James Harden with 22!
Nets-Knicks at 7 Eastern, Rockets-Spurs at 9:30. Wednesday on ESPN and streaming live on the ESPN app and watch ESPN.
Coming up Sunday on the NFL on ESPN Radio. After starting 5-0, the Vikings are dealing with a 2-game losing streak. Can the Lions make it 3 straight?
Downfield, high arching pass down the left sideline. A one-handed catch! Touchdown!
Then in San Diego, the Chargers face Marcus Mariota and the Titans. Coverage of the Vikings and Lions begins at noon Eastern, followed by the Titans and Chargers today on ESPN Radio.
Is ESPN.
Oh, yeah.
Sports Radio 1300.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Here's what's happening. Whether Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger returns from knee surgery today against the Ravens remains to be seen. Roethlisberger, a true game day decision, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter. The team has yet to decide whether Roethlisberger will start. Chiefs receiver Jeremy Maclin, Colts tight end Dwayne Allen, Titans tight end Delanie Walker, and running back DeMarco Murray all expected to play. Browns receiver Corey Coleman will start. Chiefs QB Alex Smith ruled out today. He is expected back next Sunday. He's still recovering from blows to the head suffered a week ago. Number 5, Washington, certainly making its case to be included in the top 4 when the new college football playoff rankings are released on Tuesday, while number 4, Texas A&M's dream of a shot at a national title dashed because of a loss to Mississippi State. Jake Browning threw for 378 yards, 6 touchdowns. The Huskies easily beat Cal 66-27, improved to 9-0. Number 1, Alabama, took care of LSU 10-0 to stay undefeated. The last 3 times the Tigers have been shut out at home, each has been at the hands of the Crimson Tide. Number 6, Ohio State, routed number 10, Nebraska, 62-3. Cornhuskers QB Tommy Armstrong Jr. knocked out because of a head injury. His status Saturday against Minnesota, uncertain at this point. LeBron James, with his 25-point performance, passed Hakeem Olajuwon for 10th on the NBA's all-time scoring list. He and the Cavs edged the Sixers 102-101. Clippers topped the Spurs 116-92. Second straight home loss on the season for San Antonio. NHL, Sidney Crosby scored a pair of goals. Penguins were all over the Sharks 5-0.
How has the college football playoff race been altered after number 4 Texas A&M loses to Mississippi State? Find out on a Football Monday with Mike and Mike, 6 Eastern, on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
Can I tell you what I think makes the insurance industry happiest of all? When so many people refuse to make a claim because they're afraid their rates will increase. It's absolutely crazy. I can tell you this. When I had to file a claim, I did, and my rates didn't go up. And if you're in a one-car accident as a passenger and don't file a claim, no matter who the driver is, the insurance company wins and you lose. Don't fall for this age-old trick. If you really want to save money on your premiums, bid them out every year. I guarantee you then you will save money. The insurance companies don't want you to hear this either. Be smart. Protect your family and your future, not your insurance company. Morgan & Morgan, ForThePeople.com. Offices Lexington.
Did you know the federal government provides more than $150 billion a year in grants, loans, and work study funds to make higher education possible for anyone? Completing the free application for federal student aid, known as the FAFSA, is the first step to getting your share, and it's totally free and takes most people less than an hour to apply.
Go to knowhowtogoky.org and join the conversation on Twitter with hashtag MyFAFSAStory. This message is brought to you by the Pritchard Committee Student Voice Team and the Council on Post-Secondary Education.
Republic Bank is all about easy. That's why you can pay your Fayette County property tax bill at any of our 4 convenient Lexington Republic banking centers. So say goodbye to parking downtown and say hello to Republic Bank's friendly staff and our easy and convenient parking. Or make things even easier and use one of our drive-thrus. Paying your property tax bill can be easy. Visit a Republic banking center before December 31st. Republic Bank. It's just easier here. Member FDIC.
Open soon on Vine Street downtown.
Welcome to the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to @DReefer or @MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Joe Perino.
Up at 110-4. It is picked up a bit. And Victor Espinosa and California Chrome have a 2.5-length lead. And Mike Smith lets Arrowgate loose. And here he comes. He's going to try to make a race of it with a quarter of a mile to run. And they're into the stretch. And California Chrome comes roaring home with Arrowgate coming after him on the outside. A furlong to run. California Chrome put to the test. Arrowgate full out. Can he stick with him? California Chrome. Arrowgate still coming. California Chrome. Arrowgate steals the show in the Breeders' Cup Classic. He has defeated California Chrome under Mike Smith in his 25th Breeders' Cup score.
Bob Baffert's third. That obviously Lyric Colmus.
Yeah.
From NBC Sports. I'll tell you what.
I didn't know. I thought it was Arrowgate or something. Arrowgate.
It's Arrowgate, baby. He blew it open, too.
He added a W into his name.
Yeah.
Arrowgate.
Hey, let's be fair. Horse names, it's got to be.
Yeah.
It's the owner who tells you how to say it, right?
Yeah.
Because it's so crazy.
Yeah. Even then.
That doesn't look anything like that, right?
Right. Yeah.
Either way. $6 million. Breeders' Cup Classic. Bob Baffert.
Great race. Mike Smith. And Bob Baffert is just on fire when it comes to the Classic. I mean, to knock off California Chrome and win your third straight?
I feel like Bob Baffert knows what he's doing.
Yeah, look, I mean, look, he's based out of Santa Anita Park, too. I mean,
it's
that
true.
That one kind of set up for him.
It's
he
true.
Didn't have to travel far with his horses. They trained over the same place they've always trained.
Yeah.
Where they always saddle them. They knew the whole atmosphere.
Still impressive.
Yeah.
Still impressive.
Yeah.
Mike Smith, impressive.
Still keeps going, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, I think he's 50.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's still riding strong.
He don't care.
Uh-uh.
Put me on a horse. Where's the horses at?
You know, I don't know how it's been through history, but there are a lot of great jockeys right now. There are a lot of them. And Mike Smith quickly turning into one of the top riders.
I remember growing up, obviously from Louisville, and you're from Richmond, and worked in Louisville for
13 years.
13.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
We always talk about the Derby.
A lot of Derbies.
So,
and a couple of Breeders' Cups thrown in there.
So you've seen a horse a time or two.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, plenty.
I always remember, well, Gary Stevens was huge when I was still coming up.
Sure.
He's Robbie Alvarado.
He's retired and come back.
Yeah. Gary, just stop saying you're retired, you know? Stay on the horse, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Robbie Alvarado. Obviously, yes. Calvin Burrell.
Yes.
Calvin Burrell.
Correct.
Able to do some crazy stuff at the Derby.
Yeah.
I remember those guys off the top of my head, you know, as ones that I always feel like I saw Jerry Bailey, obviously Pat Day. Yeah. I was on the tail end of those.
Sure.
As opposed to in their prime, probably. But
yeah, but now you're getting all these younger guys that are coming up.
Victor Espinoza.
Yeah, and Julian Leperu. I mean, ooh, they're just so good, and you don't know which one's going to win, you know? It really is now the ride, you know, which ride you're going to have and what you think you can do with that horse.
And every jockey tells you that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is the horse too, right? I mean,
yeah.
Jockeys know.
Right.
Hey, I've got the horse.
Yeah.
So sorry, guys.
Yeah.
I've got American Pharoah today.
I mean, it was obviously a lot of work on us last year, but it was fun having the Breeders' Cup here. You know, it was different. It was. I didn't think they could get it done. Keeneland did a fantastic job getting it done.
Great job. And it the reason that it's so tough has to be because of the size, right? I mean, it's not. Churchill Downs, monstrous.
Yeah, right, right.
You know, they're set up for Breeders' Cups.
Right.
Keeneland, unreal, though.
Yeah.
What they were able to build and do and put in place in time to pack everybody in, because you've on Bluegrass Stakes Day, it's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, you're shoulder to shoulder and can't move.
But yeah, that was exactly awesome. A special caller.
Uh-oh.
Let's go to the lines.
Is MJP awake?
It's not MJP, but it's a guy who likes some horse racing. Who's on the line?
Fred Calgill? Who's on the line?
Who's there? Mike.
Hello?
Yeah. I was wanting you to intro yourself, man. I was going to give you the build-up.
I did. Well, I appreciate that, but I heard you guys talking about the Breeders' Cup. And what's this about? Is he up yet? I've been up since 4 o'clock this morning.
No. Not you. I said MJP.
MJP.
Beg your pardon.
Hey, this guys, is what I get for selling it.
Yeah. What a great race yesterday in the Classic. The great California Chrome went down to Arrowgate, who I think is the next big thing. In fact, I think he stole the mantle as the top racehorse in the world, and he is going to be some kind of great horse before it's over. I hope they race him next year.
Mike, how surprised are you when Arrowgate is able to run him down?
Very surprised. I mean, because of a horse of the ilk of California Chrome, undefeated this year, won over $13 million. When that horse gets a lead like that and looked like an easy lead, I didn't think there was any way this horse could run him down. But persistence by Mike Smith to keep with the horse, and he knew what he had. And I tell you what, I think that horse, if it had been a mile and a half, would have run him down. He just kept going.
I tell you, earlier in the week, Art Sherman, I think, was kind of worried about that horse coming from the far outside.
Well, he should have been, because this horse went to the Travers. Now, he's only a 3-year-old, mm-hmm. and that makes a big difference when you're running against older horses.
Sure.
California Chrome was literally a man among boys. I mean, he is a mature individual. We never get to see the best of racehorses because we retire him to stud.
Right.
And luckily, this was an ill-bred horse that nobody really was caring that much about sending to stud until he won the Derby. And then they thought, well, we'll go on and win some more money with him.
$13 million.
But this horse is a 3-year-old that went to the Travers and absolutely got the highest buyer figure. That's a number that we assign to horses after each race, depending on the track condition and the speed they run it at. He got the highest buyer figure in the entire world this year out of the Travers. So this is a fast, fast horse.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, to run down California Chrome. 6 for 6, $13 million, richest racehorse in North American history. And here it is, Bob Baffert for his third straight Breeders' Cup Classic win.
Well, he's a master. He is one of the great horse trainers. Maybe you might put him in the argument of being the greatest horse trainer of all time. But again, it's like football coaches, basketball coaches, anything. You're only as good a trainer as the horses you got running for you. And he's got a whole bunch of good owners that buy him the best racehorses. Yeah. This horse sold for $500,000 at the Keeneland sale, Arrowgate. Wow. I don't know about you guys, but I don't buy many of those.
I was going to say, Mike, are you sure that you're not the best trainer?
Well, you know what? I won't say that.
You there, Mike?
No.
Horse trainers in Kentucky who toil with not very well-bred horses, not very fast horses, and win a lot of races. It's almost harder to keep a cheap horse going than it is a good one. That's right. You've got to do a lot more work with them.
Hey, you've got the help flow of the barn cat too.
Buster the barn cat. In fact, Buster the barn cat was on duty this morning.
There you go.
What'd you think about that distaff race though on Friday? Was that a crazy one?
Wasn't that something? I mean, you take two champions, Beholder, who is 3-time champion. She's an older horse. She's 6 years old. And then you get a 3-year-old in Songbird who was unbeaten and last year's 2-year-old champion. And you hook those two up like that and run that kind of race. I'll tell you what, if that doesn't excite you, you have not got a heart.
Larry Colmus was certainly excited. We ran that call yesterday. Whew,
yeah.
Man.
Wow, it was something. The whole Breeders' Cup was wonderful. Yesterday, the race with Tepin in the distaff. Another great race. Now, I'm at the football game, so I'm watching it all on my telephone.
Right.
So anyway, the guy sitting next to me was from Georgia, and he goes, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm watching the Breeders' Cup."
Yeah.
I said, "Yeah, I've heard of that.
I heard of it.
They run a whole bunch of races." I said, "Yes."
Well,
I said, "Yeah, I mean,
that's right.
That's a problem with horse racing. We don't promote it well enough. I mean, here's a guy from Georgia who's in the sports business, and he doesn't even know that the greatest race in the world is being run, is what I was watching.
I'll tell you what, though. In my opinion, again, I guess I'm still a little bit more, I've been around it a little bit more than maybe the average person, just because growing up in Louisville and going to Derby Day and stuff, and so it's kind of bred into you, you know? But I feel like the Breeders' Cup is really starting to come on to some degree to bring in the average fan, because these races are so great. You're putting the world's best against the world's best. And like you mentioned, you get a California Chrome Arrowgate.
Yeah. And no, I think the 2-day event made it special.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah.
I agree with you. It is all a great day of racing, but again, we are one of the worst promoted sports that there is.
We're going to help promote it.
But that's the racetrack's problem. Racetracks don't do it very well.
Right. There you go, Mike.
They are worried about the gambling dollar, as you should. Because let's face it, guys, there is only one reason why horse racing exists, and that is because of gambling. I mean, it all got started thousands of years ago when a guy was talking to another guy. He said, "I think my horse can outrun yours."
Yeah.
And the other guy said, "Yeah, you want to bet?"
Yep.
That's how it got started.
Yeah.
And then one of those guys lost
their castle.
And threw his tickets down and went home.
Yeah. That's it. I'm littering. I'm done.
Yeah.
No more mutuals for me.
But it was a great day of racing. I'm glad you all were talking about it. And I just wanted to call in and give my 2 cents.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks,
on the, day off of, at least from radio.
Yeah.
Man's
two days off from radio.
Yeah.
But, I will certainly be at the 4:00 tomorrow afternoon with the great Matthew Lawrence.
That's right. Right here. ESPN Radio 1300. Mike Cameron, Matthew
guys.
Lawrence.
Thanks.
On the Sports Huddle. Mike Cameron joining us.
Yeah.
Up early this morning with Buster the Barn Cat doing his thing.
Oh, my goodness.
That's
why I couldn't do that job.
Ooh.
I don't even. Is there a 4 a.m.?
There is. Sometimes. I feel like you probably don't see 4. I don't think I see 4 very often. But we get home late.
Yeah.
after the late news and you're trying to wind down, maybe you watch a movie or you know, catch up on a show on the DVR or something like that.
Usually like one or two for me.
Yeah, two if you're really wired.
Yeah. But
four. Mike's up in a couple hours when we're going to bed.
I'm just a couple years older than you. I'm kind of getting to that age where, you know, I can't stay up that late anymore. Threes and fours.
Hey, let's get to a break. Because, again, we talk a lot. So you gotta get a reprieve from us on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 on the Dan and Mary Joe Show featuring ABC 36 Sports Director Alex Rise and LEX 18 Sports Anchor Keith Farmer. Back in a moment to talk either UK football, UK men's basketball. Maybe you want to keep talking horse racing. Give us a call, 381-1313. Back in a moment. I'm trying to put you in
the worst mood. P1 cleaner than the Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. The NFL on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Presented by Paul Miller Ford, 975 East New Circle Road. And also brought to you by MLS Power Sports, 1030 Paris Pike in Georgetown. The Boot Store, just south of Man of War on Nicholasville Road. Truck and Auto Extras, 1098 East New Circle Road. Banks Floor Covering, 1117 Winchester Road. Barkley Blevins Plumbing Heating and Air, 939 Winchester Road. And Danville Foreign Cars and Recreation, 1227 Lebanon Road in Danville. The NFL on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Shouldn't you have a checking account that makes your life easier? Introducing Easy Checking from Republic Bank. Relax with no minimum balance or monthly maintenance fees. Easily send money through our app with Mobile Pop Money. Log into your account by scanning your finger or eye with your smartphone. And for easy access to your money, you can use 85,000 surcharge-free ATMs worldwide. Easy checking for your hard-earned money. We're Republic Bank, and it's just easier here. $50 required to open checking account. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Welcome to Nick Ryan's, where sophisticated dining meets fun. We invite you to come and treat yourself to lunch or dinner in our beautiful Southern-style dining room. Come see us today. We're located at 157 Jefferson Street. Try our homemade soups, unique fresh salads, or a local favorite entree for a lunch to remember. For dinner, let Nick Ryan's exceed your expectations with house favorites like shrimp and grits, braised beef short ribs, or bourbon brine fried chicken. Come visit Nick Ryan's for their Saturday brunch and enjoy our Bloody Mary Bar from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Nick Ryan's also features slow-roasted prime rib every Wednesday night. Open Monday through Saturday at 157 Jefferson Street. For reservations, call 233-7900 or visit nickryans.com. That's 233-7900. Or make an easy online reservation at nickryans.com.
When football is back and basketball is around the corner, why not make your game day experience an incredible dining experience as well? Come to Tony's Steaks and Seafood before or after the football game. Big screen TVs, fantastic service, wonderful atmosphere, and the best food anywhere. And during basketball at Rupp, you'll see a sign that says, "You're a minute away from the best steak you've ever had." Tony's, on Main Street, across from Triangle Park. Visit Tony's Steaks and Seafood.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Joe on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
She'll be the death of me, D Farmer.
And what is that?
I don't know. I just like to. Josh keeps us rolling, don't you, Josh? Thank you, Josh. Mike
or crumbling,
one of the two. Josh also forgets the people at home can't hear you if you don't have the microphone on, Josh. So you have to turn the mic on and then say yes.
I'm sorry.
There you go.
Sorry.
Much better. Much better.
There we go.
Just gotta get you airtime. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
You're welcome, Josh. Yeah. Give us a call. 381-1313. Talk UK Georgia. UK Asbury. Maybe you want to talk about Kenjon Bosley, the Madison Central product, putting up 42 points. Double overtime loss for Kentucky Wesleyan to Western Kentucky, but 42 points for the one-time state champ.
I like seeing the former Madison Central.
The pride of Madison Central sitting here in the studio with me.
That's right, yeah. Number one Madison Central.
You didn't play basketball, did you?
Dude. I was trying to, but yeah. I don't know that...
Sorry.
I was a decent freshman player, and then JV, not so much, and really never made varsity.
Wait,
so.
who's the coach when you were there?
Don Richardson.
Don Richardson. Okay.
Who was also the great baseball coach there at Madison Central. Took him to a 40-0 year.
Which isn't bad.
The state championship. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
We had a solid team. First, 1987, we had our first team to ever go to the state tournament.
Okay.
And made it all the way to the Final Four before we lost to Richie Farmer in Clay County.
They were good. They were pretty, so I hear.
They're pretty good. We were much taller, but they just seemed to get to the right place, the right time. Richie would hit those fallaways over the big guys.
Back to back, right? Clay County? Well, not wins, but
back to back
title games. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
With them and Ballard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When Scott Davenport.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it Ballard?
Uh huh.
How about that?
And they had a pretty good guard themselves.
Yeah. Scotty in general has usually had some pretty good players.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even at Bellarmine.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he's built that into a pretty good program for Division
II. Hung with, who did, Cincinnati?
Yeah.
In exhibition play.
Yeah.
Did they lose by six?
He's done that a couple of times where he's played right in there with teams.
I'll tell you,
at Bellarmine. He's kind of turning into the, you know, kind of like Georgetown gets a lot of transfers that
very
come
true.
And play there. He's starting to get that at Bellarmine, which is Division II.
Yes.
And so that's, you know, yeah.
That conference is pretty good, though.
It's loaded with Kentucky
Wesleyan. Is it Great
Wesleyan.
Lakes
still? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you've got Kentucky Wesleyan, Southern Indiana, which is where Bruce Pearl was a head coach at one point.
Indy's in there. Is Indy in there?
University of Indiana. Indianapolis.
Indianapolis.
UIndy is all I remember.
UIndy.
Yeah, UIndy. Is in there as well. It's
good. Stacked.
Yeah, it is. And not only that, they got this weird thing where they'll play through their conference, and you get to the end of the year, and they play a conference tournament. And then if you make the tournament, which about four or five of them seems like always did out of there.
They play each other again.
They play each other again because it's like a regional thing.
Which is good.
So you can sometimes play a team up to like four or five times, you know, like pretty soon too.
That's I like it because it does make it more regional, which is the definition of regional, right? Isn't it supposed to be a regional?
Right. You save the travel.
Instead of how the NCAA Division I tournament is, which means absolutely nothing. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
A region is just a word.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, Kenjal Bosley. 42 points.
He's turned into a great player. He really has. I think he found his spot there,
too. I loved him. Happy Osborne was the first guy to recruit him.
Yeah.
You know, he got a few other offers.
Kenjal's probably going to be one of those guys that's going to have a great career overseas.
I do.
If he can find a couple of good spots over there, I mean, he can make a lot of money.
He's just he's a good kid.
Yeah.
I like covering him and Dominique and Quan Taylor and Hunter Stocker and that team that won was so cool because they had been playing together for so long.
You know,
that's when I had just gotten back to Lexington. So I covered you know, them from freshman through senior, and you're like, man, look, we try not to be biased, but you got to be biased to some degree. That's the hometown. You know, that's my coverage area team.
Yeah.
And here they are, and they've come so far.
Yeah.
And you know they want it. And Coach Feldhaus is just dying to get that state championship.
See, and the thing was, that was March of 2013. I was still in Louisville.
Yeah.
May of 2013, I came here. So
that's right.
I just missed being able to see them win that state championship.
You've seen some basketball, though. You've seen a lot of high school basketball.
Oh, yeah. I've seen a ton of high school basketball, for sure. No doubt. What are you trying to say I'm old?
Man's been... No, that's... Maybe. I don't know. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
What's your favorite... What do you remember one of the teams that stuck out to you, high school teams that you've covered?
That I've covered through the
state
years?
State team or not state team, just, you know, in general.
One of them would have to be those Clay County teams because that's when I was still in high school, and... That's when they were coming along. Maybe I was even in, I don't think I was in middle school. I think I was in high school. And that's when I first started coming to the Sweet 16. And I would skip school with a buddy of mine, and we'd come over with his dad, and we'd sit and watch every game, day, night. We had the whole tickets, and we'd just watch the whole thing. Then when I went to Hazard to work at WYMT, I started covering some pretty good teams down there in Harlan.
Yeah.
Which was coming up and winning the All-A title a couple times. and then Paintsville, which was just stacked. You know, they had J.R. Van Hoos, who was a rebounding machine. I mean, he was, you know, right there with Wes Unseld probably in how he could rebound.
Yeah.
And then Todd Tackett, who ended up coming to UK. So those were fun. And they had several other guys that were great high school players. And maybe some of them went on and played some college ball, but they were great high school players. It was a great team. Talking about a Class A team that came up and won the state championship.
That's what makes it so awesome.
Yeah.
I hope that they never change that. Because it is...
Yeah.
I've heard it, and I know when they made the All-A state, it kind of quelled it a little bit, right? Quieted mm-hmm. down mm-hmm. the talk of, hey, it's not fair, we need to split it. No. Please don't mess with awesome perfection. Shelby Valley?
I've actually, through the years, gotten a little bit indifferent on it. I really have.
Really?
But, yeah. Because here's why. And the All-A has helped. But when I worked in Louisville, I got to see where Indiana, which fought it for the longest time.
True.
But they went to class systems. And so I kind of liked seeing some of those smaller teams still getting a chance, the A and the 2As. And so that's good. But, yeah, I do like the fact that occasionally we will have some Class A teams that come through and win it. Yeah.
Even like Newport Central Catholic.
Remember when Breckenridge came through and rolled through? I don't know how big a school that is, but I'm just saying, you know, you get schools that you're not expecting from time to time that come through and win this thing.
Murray came in last year and won a couple. It's neat to me to see these smaller schools play the big boys, right?
Mm-hmm.
And say, look, we're Shelby Valley, and we're going to toot the, you know, call to post, even though we're told not to.
Yeah.
Because we're good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So here we come.
Yeah.
Elijah Justice and the boys, I mean, they brought it, and it's just so cool. It really is.
Yeah.
And you know some of those big schools are like, oh, great, we're playing Shelby Valley, whatever. We're going to roll this team. And they get stomped.
Yep, yep.
It's awesome.
Yeah, for sure. and it's special to see the 16 regions and to see the Sweet 16, and that would probably change if they did go to a class system. So I wouldn't want to see
that. It's just like football for me, because when it was four's fine. And then we went to six.
Yeah.
And everybody's in the playoffs, and you get some terrible games.
Yeah.
And guess what? The whole point was to get more teams winning state titles, right? Make it more competitive.
Right.
Who's winning the state title still?
Yeah.
Across the board. Mayfield goes up to 2A. Guess what? Mayfield's going to be in the mix for 2A.
Yeah.
Just the way it is.
Yeah, we see a lot of the same teams, for sure, in football.
Whatever class Belfry's in, Belfry's going to probably be pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably going to be better than everybody else.
Everybody in 6A is chasing Trinity.
Yeah. Every so often you get, you know, St. X and Scott County, Mail.
That's right.
Came on strong, obviously, last year.
Lafayette trying
to get in the mix.
That has it's been kind of cool to see some of those teams break through like that, even with Trinity being as strong as they have been.
Yeah. It's good to see Mail back, too.
Yeah.
They had that lull, and it was not fun. You got to have the Trinity Mail rivalry, too.
Scott County, somebody outside of the, Louisville.
The institution area. That is Jim McKee.
Yeah. I mean, he's had some good teams. He's got another good team this year that people better not sleep on.
Keep the pipeline going.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man. Give us a call, 381-1313. Whatever you want to talk about. Maybe you want to talk about Boys Sweet 16, high school basketball, because it is starting up soon. It's that time of the year.
What's today? The 6th? 7th?
6th.
I don't even know.
They
start in about 2 or 3 weeks, I think.
Yeah, some Thanksgiving tournament season. Type stuff, too.
Yeah. I mean...
Let's get it going.
I'm ready for basketball season in high school.
It's Kentucky.
Yeah.
Something wrong with you if you don't like high school basketball.
I saw Scott Chalk the other night, and I was like, hey, when do you all start? And he told me, I was like, oh, yeah, because we got to be there for that one.
Yeah.
We'll be there for the first
They have a pretty good basketball player, as it turns out. Still back on the team. They lost Darius Williams.
Yeah.
So, you know, lost Jordan Lewis.
Yeah.
From the state title team.
Yeah.
A couple of really good guards. But Tavian Hollingsworth is pretty good, too.
He's really good.
Really good.
Yeah.
He was on, was he on his visit to Western this weekend?
Yes. He was.
On a visit to Western Kentucky this weekend. Again, Western Kentucky needed double overtime. Right? Two OTs.
Yeah.
To take care of Kentucky Wesleyan and our boy Kenja Bosley.
Sean Woods is also after Tavian Hollingsworth.
He's been after Tavian Hollingsworth for a while. EKU also after Tavian
Hollingsworth. That's right, yeah.
Everyone's after Tavian Hollingsworth.
He's probably going to pick up a few more as the season gets started, too. I mean, kid can handle the ball.
Yeah.
He's got a good shot. He's not super fast, but he can get to the rim.
What do you think is the reason of holding out? I mean, obviously, UK gets the best of the best in the entire country.
Yeah.
But there's always one or two guys, right? I mean, you know, Hawkins makes the run in the state tournament.
Yeah.
He gets picked up. You know, Derek Willis, yeah, pretty good player.
Yeah.
Why not just throw out some interest
to
arguably the state's best player?
I got you.
You know, do you just wait on it? But if you wait and you lose, you know, potentially Mr. Basketball, it's one of those things I feel like the old school traditionalist, you know, wants to see.
Yeah.
Right? Mr. Basketball play at UK.
Yeah.
Even if he doesn't play all the time, we like to see the Dominique Hawkins and Derek Willis's stay at home.
Well, and especially with this team, he's got a little more levity to be able to do that because he's going to lose
a lot of folks.
The team?
Yeah. Well, Hawkins and Willis are certainly gone.
Yeah.
And then what do you think? Briscoe, do you think Fox and Monk?
I think Fox and Monk and Adebayo are gone for sure.
Yeah.
And so, you know, then it depends on how well Briscoe plays this year, which
Briscoe,
from
gone.
Everything I've seen, yeah, looks good. So I think he's gone.
He wanted to go last.
I know. Yeah, yeah.
And if it wouldn't have been for the feedback, luckily for him,
yeah,
the new system and the way everything's put in place, he gets to go work out with NBA teams.
Right.
Directly.
Yeah.
In a personal workout. And they can say, you know what? I think you need to work on that shot. Clean it up.
I mean, so, you know, Sasha's looking pretty good.
I feel like he has gotten kind of slighted. I mean, Cal was high on him and said the last guy that he remembers like him was Patrick Patterson.
Yeah.
So,
the last coach that came in played him with the Clarion coach.
Yeah.
I mean, he had nothing but great things to say about Wenyon.
Yeah.
I mean,
huge motor. Bam at 100%, says Cal.
So now you're looking at Brad Calipari returning. That's it.
And Johnny David and is Pulliam. Yeah. And Dylan Pulliam.
Yeah.
I think he's a junior, isn't he?
I mean, so again, you've
pretty much
lost your team. So he's got, what I'm saying is, you've got more of a chance where you can hand out an early scholarship offer or at least show interest, go talk
show
to the
interest.
Kid,
yeah,
show up and watch some games at Dunbar. It's in your town. And go watch Tavion.
I agree. We'll talk about some more hoops after the break. Give us a call, 381-1313, if you want to be part of the show here on ESPN Radio's 1300 with Alex Risen and Keith Farmer filling in for Dan and Mary Jo.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
If I could give you two pieces of advice in choosing the law firm to represent you for your injuries, it would be simple. Pick a firm that's been around a long time. I've seen so many come and go. And pick a firm with the financial strength to give you the best chance to be fully compensated for what has been taken from you. Our battles have been against the establishment, tobacco companies, the pharmaceutical industry, insurance companies, and bully corporations. We advance on behalf of our clients millions of dollars, sometimes $1 million in a single case to fight the giants. Whether it's a car crash case, workers' compensation, medical malpractice, or an insurance dispute, you need a firm which can match the other side dollar for dollar, toe to toe, so that you have a fighting chance. For 30 years, we've represented the people, not the powerful. Let us fight for you. Morgan & Morgan, ForThePeople.com. Offices, Lexington.
Can you believe it's already November?
No, it's like the holidays are almost here.
I know, right? I'm trying to get all of my parties and events planned. Have you figured out your schedule?
Well, Kentucky Ballet Theater is doing their Nutcracker the weekend before Thanksgiving at Transylvania University, so I won't have to skip out on friends' parties.
Oh, how perfect! The Nutcracker is my favorite holiday event, and just before all of my family festivities begin. When did you say it was again?
The Kentucky Ballet Theater presents the Nutcracker at Transylvania University's Hagen Hall on Saturday, November 19th at 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. Information is on their website at kyballet.com.
I want to get my tickets now. Here's their phone number, 859-252-5245. There's easy parking and I've heard it's beautiful. How much are tickets?
It's $20 for students and children and $25 to $30 for adults. What a deal. That's my favorite holiday performance.
Looks like we'll be celebrating together on Saturday, November 19th. I just bought us tickets at kyballet.com and they'll be waiting for us at Will Call.
Fantastic. I'll see you there.
kyballet.com or 859-252-5245. The Nutcracker, November 19th at 2 and 7 p.m.
Now is a great time to volunteer at the Lexington Rescue Mission. Volunteering is an opportunity to directly impact lives.
To see a life changed, to have it flourish in front of you. And the mission is a great place to volunteer to see that. You really get to see the results of your input.
And anyone can do it. So no matter how much time you might be able to give, a little or a lot, volunteer at the Lexington Rescue Mission. Call us at 381-9600.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300. The Dan and Mary Jo Show. Local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
It is not. Dan Reefer, Mary Jo Perino, ABC 36 Sports Director Alex Risen, LAX 18 sports anchor Keith Farmer in the studio this morning to talk UK Georgia, the game that so much was on the line and what could have been and will never be now.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tough one, no doubt about it, but at least we're seeing progress in the program and we're seeing a real good chance at this team being bowl eligible because Austin Peay's still on the schedule. I mean, who knows? They're going down to Tennessee this week, and at least we know they've got a shot because, you know, they are playing better. Tennessee's struggling a little bit. They're banged up a little bit. I think, you know, there's a chance that they could go down there and play very well. They've shown now that since that Florida game that they can play in hostile environments better, right?
I think so.
So it doesn't affect them as we've seen in past games.
You would imagine Knoxville a little bit more excited, maybe, now that they rolled Tennessee Tech like they should have. Because yeah. I think maybe some folks out there were thinking, not necessarily a letdown like a loss, but just the way stuff is gone, and it, you know, it's just, maybe they come out a little flat against Tennessee Tech. That didn't happen. They did not come out flat.
No.
They rolled them like they were supposed to.
And I don't know what the noon start does. I know a lot of people were excited because that Missouri game, they were like, oh, noon start, you know, Missouri's not going to be into it. They're going to be quiet, you know, not a chance to tailgate as much in the mornings and things like that. I don't know. That, you know,
I don't know the Missouri tailgating
scene. Not being really a
scene fan,
you know, and going out and I don't know. We haven't had – did we have a noon game? I don't think we've had a noon game, have we? Oh, no, that was the first noon game, right?
That was, season. Yeah, on the road. Yeah, at home.
So
we
haven't had one here to know kind of how the feeling of it all.
Vandy was the earliest at 4 o'clock, right?
I don't know that Tennessee is going to be.
It's Tennessee.
It's exactly. It's Tennessee. You know, they're going to pack the stadium.
You got the
they're
Vol Navy.
Yeah.
They're going to get there.
Yeah. And so I don't think you're going to get a less than stellar performance from the fan base.
There's a lot on the line still for Tennessee.
Yeah.
I think they know that. You can't lose to. That's always the thing, right?
Right.
I mean, we know the Tennessee fans, because to me, that's still the rivalry, isn't it? I mean, Louisville is, you know, in state, and yeah, sure. But right. SEC-wise, I would say Tennessee for football, more so than Florida, just because the Florida streak is still existing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so Tennessee, at least, and it's the neighbor to the South, right? It's right there. UK, Tennessee.
Yeah,
you just don't like.
You know, I think
Tennessee.
I think it used to be bigger and better too when they had the Kentucky-Tennessee All-Star football game they were playing, and then Kentucky went and messed it up one year and won, and then won another year and won another year, and Tennessee said maybe we shouldn't play this game anymore.
That's it. We're out of here.
Yeah, took their ball and went home, and and now, you know, it's still a rivalry though. Kentucky and Tennessee is the rivalry. I mean, I know a lot of people circle that calendar for Louisville.
But the SEC team is Tennessee.
Yeah. And also, you know, for it to be a rivalry, you got to start winning some games. I mean, they need to do it in both those series. Kentucky does.
Yes, they do. At Tennessee, at Louisville.
Yeah.
Not the most ideal way, probably, to...
have to end your season. I mean, not Austin Peay sprinkled in there, you know, obviously. But,
yeah. Break you know, you're talking about what Tennessee has to play for. They're 6-3. So after such a great start, and how high did they get up in the rankings? I mean, they were the top 10.
Yeah, it was before the college football playoff. So, I mean, who knows
so,
where they would have been.
I mean, yeah, they're sitting there to lose Jalen Hurd. They're banged up. But they want to play on New Year's Day. They don't want to just make bowl games.
Tennessee is still a big enough name to if they wind up being second.
Yeah.
In the East.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe not absurd that they still have a chance to win the East. They're still in the mix. Because Florida could lose to South Carolina and LSU, right?
Right.
Anything can happen.
Oh, for sure.
I think it's been very much proven this season when the likes of Mississippi State beating Texas A&M, number 4 team in the country in the college football playoffs yesterday, and then, as you mentioned, Vandy and Auburn. Maybe Vanderbilt's not as bad as people think they are. Again, people say the SEC's down, but maybe, is it?
Maybe it's gotten better.
When do you think we will know?
I don't know. That it's
down or it isn't. You know, are you a bowl game guy? Or do you do direct comparisons? Hey, you know, the SEC was perceived to be down. Here's their bowl record undefeated. They weren't down. We were all wrong.
No, I think that comes with your non-conference games, you know, which you can't tell anything from a Tennessee Tech or Austin Peay kind of game. I think it comes from those bigger games. So for Kentucky, you got to be Louisville, you know, to help the SEC look good. You know,
I agree.
For I don't know who some of these teams had on their schedule, but Florida probably plays Florida State. So you've got to beat Florida State to make the SEC look good.
Right.
Even with Florida State not having a super solid year.
I kind of like what has almost become the SEC-ACC challenge.
Yeah.
You know, it's not official.
No.
But with Louisville moving to the ACC, you get UK, Louisville.
Yeah.
Florida plays Florida State.
Right.
South Carolina plays Clemson.
Clemson, yeah.
Georgia's always played Georgia Tech. Now, I know Georgia Tech is...
not great at football.
Is bad.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
But it is kind of neat that you're getting these in-state SEC-ACC rivalry games. Uh-huh. I like it. I think it's good for football. I think it's good for sports in general. I mean, if they play each other, you know, in anything, I think that that's awesome.
Well, and they're good teams. They're, you know,
in the mix. They're powerhouse programs.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe Georgia Tech will get back on track.
Get it turned around.
Maybe.
Yeah, so I think that's where you judge the SEC. I don't, you know, how good it is. And maybe we learn that, you know, maybe the SEC's just getting better. You know, they're instead of just having the three powerhouse teams in, say, an East division, maybe Kentucky and South Carolina and Vanderbilt are improving enough to make it a...
it won't just be Florida, Tennessee, Georgia.
Yeah.
Vying for that anymore.
Yeah, you don't have the guys to beat up on. You've got to play them now.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe you run the table and go, you know, undefeated on your East side, but you're going to have to play these teams.
Right. Well, I mean, Missouri.
And show
a
up.
Great I mean, I know, again, this year, down. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. They're down from where they were.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Missouri, coming to the SEC and winning two.
Right, yeah.
SEC East titles out of the gate.
Yeah.
I'm sure some of those SEC East ADs are going, come on with this. You know? You're going to bring in Missouri, throw them in the East, which is the most ridiculous thing ever.
Yeah, yeah. Furthest West?
Yeah. Well, A&M.
Oh, yeah, right? yeah, true.
I mean, I get bringing in two new teams and who are you going to move to the East?
Yeah.
That's always been in the West since you've gone to divisions. But then it's like this, it's Missouri.
Well, you couldn't move the Alabama and the Mississippi.
Exactly. That's the thing.
Yeah.
So who do you put?
Because they want to play each other.
Who do you put in the East?
Yeah.
You can't.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, fine. Throw Missouri in there. Sorry, A&M. You're now with Alabama, LSU, and Auburn for football.
Yeah.
Right?
Congrats. Welcome to the SEC.
Yeah. A&M's going, come on. Put us in the East.
Boy, that'd be scary.
I mean,
but...
Who stands in their way, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But again, they're losing to Mississippi State, so who knows?
That certainly made... I mean, that was an odd game, you know, because Mississippi State just
controlled
really
the whole way.
Came out from the start and just ran right through them. Nick Fitzgerald looked like a different player than the one that played here, and I kind of think I want to say... Kentucky was a part of that.
They wake them up a little bit.
Maybe it was, I don't know, maybe it was just the defensive scheme that stopped him.
I feel like UK's defense, and I know we were talking about it in the break a minute ago, Mark Stoops taking over the play calling and just what they've been able to do since then, but it's also freed up DJ Elliott, you know, talking to him, and Coach Stoops mentioned this too, giving him the freedom again to really break down stuff in the box.
Mm-hmm.
Look at it. Instead of, okay, I'm still on defense and I got to call every single play.
Uh-huh.
Now I'm removed just a little bit,
mm-hmm.
where I can look at something again. You know, I can step back and look at the situation instead of, okay, play and it's second and 10, and you're always worried about the next play call and getting the personnel on and off the field and making those calls and situations. And DJ gets to do what he was able to do and why he was hired, which is remove myself and look at things to make adjustments, make the tweaks, and let Mark know,
mm-hmm.
who's my guy.
Yeah.
Hey, here you go. Here's the adjustment.
Right, right.
Because he knows Stoops' defense. You know, they came together for Florida State. He knows what he wants, but sometimes maybe calling it every single down was the problem.
Yeah. I think, too, it gives him a chance to look out there, and he's going to see what the offenses are setting up in. Hey, I've seen that on film.
Yeah.
Okay, so, Coach, here's what I've seen, and here's what I expect. And now he can go, okay, well, let's do this defense, you know, exactly. or let's go.
And it's tag team.
I think what I've seen that I like, and it doesn't take as long to relay it down there and, all right, well, let me think about what I want to do. I've seen that. Now let me think what I want to do. Now let's get it down to those three guys in those different colored shirts that are down there flashing signs and telling the defense what to do. So now it's just, okay, I've seen this, coach. Here's what it is. It's going to be a run. It's going to be a pass or whatever. You know, now coach can make that call real quick.
Absolutely.
And I think we've seen it on the offensive side with Hinshaw and Grant, and that's how they work.
Tag team.
And that's why I think I like how I'm seeing it work on the defense.
Co-offensive coordinator.
Yeah, yeah. Because Hinshaw doesn't sit there and say, let's run this. He says, oh, I've seen this, and this is what they're lining up in.
Poke Eddie.
You? Yeah, yeah. Hey, Eddie, here's my suggestion on a couple of plays. What do you think? You know, and yeah. I'm sure it goes much faster. I hope it goes much faster than that on a 25-second
play call. No, it's just like that.
You think that's exactly that's how they
exactly
sound on
how
the headsets?
It goes, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Eddie. We got to take a quick break. Back to wrap things up in a moment here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 on the Dan and Mary Joe Show, featuring Alex Risen and Keith Farmer this morning, filling in for Dan and Mary Joe.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
One of the great things about little boys and little girls is when they grow up, they want to be just like you. So to moms and dads, aunts and uncles, and grandparents everywhere, remember this. The next time you get in the car and don't buckle your seatbelt, a little boy is watching. And when you decide to text or dial and talk while driving, a little girl is watching your every move. And when you head down the road with a beer or cocktail in the car, that little person next to you is taking it all in. In this life, you have an awesome responsibility to those children who love you the most and want to be you in every way. So make a pledge today to be a good role model to these kids and their friends so that that little boy and that little girl get to grow up and be just like you. Morgan & Morgan, for our children.
Offices Lexington.
Here's what another satisfied customer, and from Lexington, has to say about Barkley Blevins.
They treat me like family. I've watched John grow up over the 30-plus years they've worked with me. They've replaced water heaters, sump pumps, sewer pipes, furnaces, air conditioners, toilets, and faucets. They've done it all. And I like when the technician sits and chats with me at the kitchen table while filling out the ticket. There's no one else I would trust, and you should trust them too.
Barkley Blevins Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. Check them out at BarkleyBlevins.com.
You can trust your car to Fleet Dog.
At Fleet Dog, we break for breast cancer. It's time to stop procrastinating and schedule your mammogram. That's why Fleet Dog supports the St. Joseph Hospital Foundation's Yes Ma'am program. Fleet Dog, with the help of Advanced Auto Parts, is donating $50 from every brake job now through the end of the year to the Yes Ma'am program, providing life-saving screening, patient navigation, treatment support, and programs for reduced or low cost. We want you to break for breast cancer, too. Visit Fleet Dog at 1031 Contract Street, and you could help save a life.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Yeah, I tell you, Josh keeps us fresh on a Sunday morning, doesn't he? A little old school, but I like it.
Yeah.
A little Usher.
Yeah.
Keep it down a low key. I think that's what he says. I'm not really sure.
Whatever keeps me fresh, that's good.
More hoops for you. EKU Georgetown College. Exhibition game, 2 o'clock, down at McBrayer Arena.
I think that could be a good one. You think?
Well, Georgetown no longer has Jordan Green. So, number 2 team in the country in NAIA.
Yeah.
Looking a little smaller than they had hoped originally. Yeah. But they're pretty good. Trent Gilbert. Woo! Yeah. That boy can play some ball.
Oh, my goodness. I've never
seen... DJ Burns, Edson Avila.
Trent's one of those guys that is just such a pure shooter. I mean, you know...
He can get that shot off quick.
Seen a couple of guys like that where it's just like, leaves his hand, you know it's good.
Yep.
Unreal.
Jacob Conway, proud of Lincoln County on the team. Got some Kentucky boys.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you know, Georgetown's starting to stack that Kentucky talent up a little bit.
I'm excited to see what EKU can do this year, you know, with Mikhail getting into his second season. And it might take one more, you know, class to come in and everything. But Dylan Avar. I mean,
UofL transfer. He could shoot the basketball.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's going to be interesting to see.
Lex Calf boy, right?
Yeah. To see how he gets in there and if he can become a leader and become a scorer for this team and everything. But I'm excited about seeing them, excited about seeing what Morehead can do this year.
Morehead also opening the exhibition slate today.
Yeah.
At home, Johnson Arena, Cincinnati Christian, 2 o'clock tip out there.
Yeah.
So take your pick. Drive to Richmond.
Yeah.
Or drive out to Morehead.
Yeah.
2 o'clock either way.
And then come back here for 7 o'clock game.
Come back here. And even if you don't go down to Rupp, check it out. 7 o'clock, the SEC Network.
Yeah.
We'll take care of you. UK and Asbury at Rupp Arena. A lot of basketball. It's that time of the year.
Yeah, yeah.
EKU also, by the way, Trevor Hill, still down there from LCA.
Yeah.
DeAndre Dishman, Bryan Station product.
Yes.
He had a busted lip on media day because he's been banging with Jackson Davis.
Oh, wow.
And Nick Mayo. He said, I quickly realized I am no longer the best guy on the floor. You know, Dishman at Station, he's able to just kind of turn and slam it home a few times.
Yeah.
Can get out and run, athletic, like a gazelle on the open floor.
Yeah, yeah.
But Jackson Davis, of course, can't play. He has to sit out. The transfer from Butler, Lafayette product. Had some great battles with Henry Clay in the 11th region.
That's going to be exciting to see him once he is able to get in there. Because, you
know, he looks good, too.
Maybe he didn't play much at Butler, but he was in there. He learned from some great players, you know. And had a chance to battle every day in practice, so you know he's improved. I'm really looking forward to see how good he is.
And he's playing against Nick Mayo, who's the main guy, pun intended, because he's from Maine.
Man, you know.
Free KU.
That was great to see him last year, just come out of nowhere. I mean, nowhere for us. I mean, obviously.
Mr. Basketball, Maine.
Coaches knew what they had.
For whatever that
means. I mean, you know, for us here, we think, funny, you know.
Mr. Basketball, Maine.
I mean, I guess you take a Mr. Basketball from any of the 50 states. But yeah, I mean, for us, we didn't know much about him. Coaches kind of knew what they had, and they were holding it, you know, close to the vest. And, man, he came out, and he's a fun kid to watch. He's just a hustler. He seems to always have the rebound end up in his hands.
He can face up in the post, step out, hit shots.
Hit shots from the outside, yeah.
Look,
they're a lot of fun to watch.
Isaac McGlone, Jalen Babb Harrison back. Coach McHale says they're all OVC potential.
Yeah. They're picked, what, fifth in their
division? Fifth in the East, 10th overall.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, that's okay, I'm surprised I wouldn't pick 12th.
I know. and maybe he's half joking at that. But I think they have potential to be a little better than that. I really do. And
Morehead, same thing. Picked to finish third behind Belmont, Tennessee State.
Yeah.
Ahead of Tennessee Tech and EKU in the East.
Yeah.
And it's going to be different. Sean Wood said that they will have to lead by committee.
Yeah.
Corbin Collins transferred. He's at Alabama.
Yeah.
Which is great for him.
Yeah.
Great for him. Be under Avery Johnson.
But, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's so odd, though. He's been at like 3 or 4 colleges, right?
It happens. Moved Joyce Mays, remember Joyce Mays that came to UK? He was at Wright State. Mm-hmm. And it just, these guys, sometimes they're world travelers these days. Ryan Hare, remember he transferred?
Yes.
He made a couple stops.
Transferred again.
Transferred again and again and again. Hoop season. Right around the corner.
So you asked me what I was looking for tonight. What are you looking for tonight from this UK basketball?
I'm looking for a quick game so I can cut the highlights. I'll be on the floor with the best shooting that I can do at this stage of the game.
And usually ending up on our air because...
You're welcome.
You sit too far out or something. I don't know what it is.
I think your boy Jonathan Dunn...
doesn't sit out far enough.
Doesn't sit out far enough. He's got that super seat with like the foam pad.
Yeah.
Like he's 48 years old.
So if you want to see Alex Risen...
Sorry.
Yeah, funny. So if you want to see Alex Risen, then all you got to do is turn on to our station.
You'll see my left ear.
And watch the highlights, and you'll see his cheek and ear and...
It's true.
Almost every shot.
Hey, thanks for joining us on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Keith, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Enjoyed it.
Filling in for Danny Mary Joe. Have a great weekend. Be sure to tune in for the NFL games here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Mike and Mike.
Mike and Mike and Joe Madden, the manager of the Cubs, and going back to the...